Amen. Thank you, Tim. And this is the day the Lord has made. Okay, some of you got that. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Just for grins, I may try it one more time. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. We are so glad to be in the house of the Lord. In fact, there's one more verse we could open with. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And what a joy it is to see all of you in the house of the Lord this morning. I will echo the words that Trey's already said and that Tim has already said. We do welcome each of you here this morning, and it is such a joy to see all of you gathered here in the house of the Lord to worship the Lord here this morning. Let me mention a couple of things to you as I'm up here to start with. Starting next Sunday, and this has been planned for a while and I'm excited about it, but just wanted to remind you that starting next Sunday, Brother Craig Ward from the Georgia Baptist Mission Board, I think I'm saying that right, he works for the Georgia Baptist folks. That's not the official. I think it is Georgia Baptist Mission Board, but Craig Ward is a, this is again a weird one, pastor wellness catalyst. But anyway, he loves pastors and he loves churches. I've had lunch with Craig a couple of weeks ago. Super nice guy. I'm excited about what he is going to bring. Craig is going to bring for us, it's now going to be a four-part series. Originally, it was going to be six. He was going to have to skip the first Sunday in October. And at Craig's suggestion, he's going to kind of shorten that down, homogenize some of those messages, and make it a four-part sermon series on September the 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th. That starts next Sunday morning. The name of this sermon series is called Right Start, and it's for churches that are in transition. In other words, churches that may be currently without a pastor. It's going to be a real good thing for this church, and I'm excited for that to be going on. I wanted to make sure that I promoted that this morning and asked you to please be here for those. Now, that being said, I told Craig and I told Bob Blaylock that unless I got asked to preach somewhere during those weeks, we would be here also. And when I had lunch with Craig, he said, I think you should do that. If someone calls you and asks you to come and preach during those 4 weeks, you need to go do that. Well, someone called. So next Sunday, I will not be here. We will be at Holly Springs First Baptist because their pastor is stepping away. But what I hope is going to happen is I've given them Craig's name as well. And Craig asked me, he said, you think starting sometime mid-October, they might want to do the Right Start series? I said, I hope they do. I hope they will. So I've made sure they've talked. So as of right now, I'm going to preach at Holly Springs First Baptist on Sunday, September the 8th, next Sunday. But I'm going to be keeping attendance here, see who all's here. So I want y'all to be here next Sunday. And promise me this, you will pray for me next Sunday as I'm preaching at Holly Springs First Baptist. They're a church whose pastor has just stepped down. I believe his last Sunday is today. So they're a church that needs our prayers, one of our fellow churches in the Etowah Association. So please remember to pray for them. Also, as a reminder, there will be a called conference after the church service today. And since that conference involves us, we are not going to stay around for that, okay? I know I normally, Lisa and I, we like to meet you at the back door over here. And I've noticed there's actually two back doors. So when we dismiss every Sunday, for the folks that don't wish to speak to us, y'all can go to this side and kind of slip around. If you want to speak to us, you can come over to this side, and we're usually here at this door. We won't be today because we are having the called conference. That does involve us, so we're going to give y'all freedom to talk about us while we're away. We're not just going to go sit in the back room. We're going to drive south. So y'all have freedom to have that conference and say whatever you wish. The other reason is we're meeting Brother Kevin Cantrell for lunch at Williamson Brothers. I know I've talked about Kevin a few times. He's a dear friend of mine. He's preaching once again at New Hope Baptist in Canton. They are currently without a pastor, and God may be doing something there with Kevin. I don't know that. So I shouldn't say things like that, being as I don't know what God's going to do in that situation. But I told Kevin that I would pray for him this morning. Because, of course, on Facebook this morning, he told me he was praying for me. And I told him that I would pray for him. So, but again, just a reminder, there will be a called conference right after church, after the invitation. We're going to go and slip out. So I'll just tell you all right now, we love you. We appreciate you. And as I mentioned, I do want to pray for Brother Kevin as we have our prayer time in just a moment. Also, Jeannie asked me this morning if we would please pray for her son. Spilled some hot grease on his foot and has to wear those big old work boots. And so having a blister, big old blister, is going to be rough. So she asked if we would please pray for her son. Jeannie, we will do that as we go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, it is in Jesus' name that we do humbly bow before you at this time. Lord, I'm so thankful for this church, and I'm thankful for the things you're doing in this church. Lord, I'm so thankful for the good reports we heard of the homecoming service last week. Lord, I know we enjoyed being a part of the worship service where we were at South Cherokee Baptist Homecoming, but I'm so glad this church had a beautiful homecoming service last Sunday with a lot of people here in attendance, Lord. That just warmed my heart to hear that, and I thank you for that. And I, just like Trey said, I want to thank you for everyone who took part in that service. And I do thank you for Trey and for using him to bring a message here in this place last Sunday. I thank you for the way he's leading our Bible studies on Wednesday night, and just pray that you continue to anoint and bless his efforts. Lord, I do pray for my good friend Kevin Cantrell, who's preaching this morning at New Hope Baptist in Canton. I lift Kevin up to you right now, Father, and I just pray, Lord, that you would anoint his message as he steps up into the pulpit. Probably right about now he's getting up to preach. And I just pray that you fill him with your Holy Spirit, that you would use him and anoint him, Father, to preach the words that you've given him and to lift up Jesus Christ. Father, I also want to pray for the next four Sundays here in this church. Lord, starting next Sunday, September the 8th, I want to pray for Craig Ward. Lord, what a dear friend he has turned out to be in the very short time that I have known him. And I'm just excited to have him coming here to bring the sermon series on churches in transition. And I want to pray for him, Lord. I pray for him right now that you would use him to speak your word in this pulpit each time he is here for the next four Sundays. And Father, that we would have a good attendance here from this church. And Father, that we would learn from the things that Craig has to share. And Father, I do continue to pray for this church and that you guide this body of believers in the path going forward. Lord, I do pray for the message here today. Lord, I pray for your anointing as I preach the message you've laid on my heart. Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would draw us near to you and open our eyes to things this morning. Father, I do thank you for everyone who's here today, the many people in this room, and the many different needs we have. Lord, I know there's a lot of prayer requests that we have on our hearts, but I do especially pray for Jenny's son this morning. I lift him up to you and just pray that you bring healing quickly to him, Father, and that, Lord, you would just bring comfort and being able to wear his work boots and get back to work soon. But, Father, again, I know there's many other prayer requests on our hearts, and we lift all these things up to you, knowing that you know all of our needs. Father, again, we do thank you for this day. We want to glorify you in it, and we want to worship you in it. And we lift our voices to do that now. We thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we do humbly pray. Amen. As we do begin the message today, I just want to tell you right up front that today's message may be just a little bit different. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with doing things a little bit differently sometimes. God has put something on my heart, and I do want to share it with you this morning. But what's going to be different is we are not going to extensively dwell as much on a specific passage of Scripture today. Now, most of the time in a sermon, I do tend to use a good bit of Scripture, and we typically take one particular passage, and we will analyze that passage throughout the message. We're not going to do that exactly today, although for a starting passage, I do want to read a verse from the Gospel of Luke. In fact, I would normally have you stand at this time for the initial Scripture reading, but for this single verse today, I'm going to have you just keep your seats today. But we're going to start as we begin reading Luke chapter 14, verse 23. And you may have noticed in your bulletin that the title that I gave for today's message is Compel Them to Come In. Compel them to come in. And those words are taken from this verse. Let me read the verse. Luke 14, 23. And this comes after a story that Jesus was telling. In verse 23, it says, "Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled.'" Now I'm going to read it one more time. It says, "Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled.'" And really, that's what this message today is about. Well, not just compelling people to come into the house of the Lord, but also thinking about our duty to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and thinking about ways that we can minister to people who are outside of the church. And I shared that verse from Luke 14:23 because it fits so well with our topic for today. But let me also read a few other verses of Scripture. This will be a very familiar passage to most all of us. You'll recognize these verses right off. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Again, this is our Savior talking. And Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." He said, "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." Now, those are words of Jesus Christ unto His disciples. And in fact, those are some of the final words in the Gospels. And that particular passage of Scripture that I just shared from Matthew, that is commonly referred to as the Great Commission. The Great Commission. And it is called that because it is indeed a duty and it is a purpose that we as followers of Christ have been entrusted with. And that is to take the saving message of Jesus and to share it with a lost world. And you see, that is done not only via words, but it is done in ministering unto people. And we need to be asking ourselves regularly, whose life can I make a difference in today? I think that's something that we can all reflect upon. Whose life can we make a difference in each day? Listen, I've heard Christian friends, I've heard people say, "Well, you know, I'm just not really good with witnessing. I'm just not very good at talking with people." You know what? Really? Me neither. That's right. You may find that hard to believe, but it is true. And I'm actually a lot more introverted than I'd seem when I get behind a pulpit. But people sometimes mistakenly think that just because I'm a preacher, they say, "Oh, well, it's easy for you to witness and to talk to people about Jesus." But let me explain something to you. It's different getting up behind a pulpit and talking about it, because you see, that's what I'm expected to do when I'm here. If someone comes into a church building, they expect to hear about God. They expect, when they walk through the church doors, to hear about Jesus Christ. But you get out into the workplace or somewhere else that it's not expected, and people start squirming a little bit when you start talking about Jesus. But you see, here's the thing. Sharing Jesus is not necessarily preaching a sermon or even giving a speech. And it's not thumping someone over the head with the Bible either. You know, I once heard it said that some people are hurting so bad. You have to do more than just preach a message to them. You have to be a message to them. Now listen to this. I heard a story one time about a seminary professor. And it was about this seminary professor's final exam to his ministerial students. This was a class on ministry and evangelism. So all these students were aspiring ministers. Oh, and they had studied their doctrine. They tried to anticipate the possibility of the many deep theological questions for the final exam. But to their surprise, when they received their test paper, it was really only one question. as they turned their paper over to start the exam. And it said this: what's the cleaning lady's first name? The one that you pass out in the hallway here every day. Bonus points: what's her husband's name? How many children does she have? That was it. You see, most of them, a lot of them, had just passed her by every single day. Probably didn't offer a word, may not have even offered a smile. We don't always think about the ministry opportunities that God places in front of us on a regular basis. But what we should be doing is sharing Jesus by shining His light and by showing forth His love. And listen, your sphere of influence is different than mine, and vice versa. God puts people into your path that I will never see. And not only that, God puts people into your path who won't necessarily walk through the doors of a church. I've heard it said, and I'm sure most of you have probably heard this saying as well, but you're the only Bible that some people may ever read. Likewise, there's a song, I think it's Scott Wesley Brown, I may be wrong, but it says, "You're the only Jesus that some may ever see." Now, that's kind of a sobering thought, but we have to ask ourselves, church, if people's perception of Jesus Christ is what they see in us, what kind of image of Jesus are we showing them? Just something to think about. Because I want to tell you something. Sometimes we do not realize the negative perception that the world has of the church. Especially in this day and time. And this is something I feel like God has really brought to my attention in recent years. And it is my heartfelt conviction that people outside of the church, they don't necessarily know that they are welcome inside the church. And furthermore, they don't know what to expect. And listen to me, they are very hesitant to come in. I've heard an old school mentality that says this: well, they know we're here. They'll come if they want to. Ooh, my friends, listen. Just having a building and putting up a sign is not enough. And just to say, oh, well, they'll come if they want to, I'm going to tell you, more than likely, they won't. They won't. Let's talk about the perception that current society has about the church, okay? I'm going to give a few examples for us to think about. And this one, I started to not even share this one, but I think I need to. Some of you may be familiar with an animated television show called The Simpsons. Now, okay, I know it's not necessarily the most wholesome show. It is something I've watched off and on through the years. It is a cartoon, if you're not familiar with it, but I suspect some of you are familiar with it. And if so, you probably know some of the characters in this show. But the so-called Christian family on that show is the Flanders family. And they are portrayed as very dorky and very out of touch. But in one particular episode, the mother of this family, Mrs. Flanders, she was gone for a while. And when she returned, her two sons said, "Oh, Mommy, we've missed you so much." And she said, "Oh, I was away at Bible camp learning to be more judgmental." Away at Bible camp learning to be more judgmental. Now, when I first heard that line, it made me kind of mad. But then, you know, the more I got to thinking about it, it actually made me sad. Why? Because that's the perception that a lot of people have toward Christians. And you can say, yeah, but that was just fiction. Well, maybe so, but one of the writers wrote it. And then they put it on television in prime time. So not only did they believe it to be true, but they were reinforcing the stereotype that church people, Christian people, are very judgmental. And while that incident was on a fictional TV show, let me give some real life examples. A few years ago, when I was still pastoring Ball Ground First Baptist, I had a coworker, a lady that I worked with, and I knew that she lived very close to our church. She had a Ball Ground address, so knowing that she lived close, I would frequently invite her to come to church. Especially on Fridays, I would make it a point to walk by her desk just so I could say, "Hey, we would love to see you at church on Sunday." Well, the first time I asked her, she initially said, "Well, I don't have an address." I first thought she was saying she didn't know the address. No, she was saying she thought she had to wear a dress. And once I figured that out, I said, "You don't have to wear a dress to our church." I said, "My wife frequently doesn't wear a dress." And so she asked me, very concerned, "Well, what do the ladies wear?" I said, "Mostly slacks. Some wear dresses. Some wear jeans." And she said, "You're kidding." I said, "No, I'm not kidding at all." So I continued to invite her. And one Friday, as I was asking her to come to church, she goes, "Well, I'm spending time with my teenage daughter on Sunday." I said, "Great, bring her with you. We would love to have her too." And she said, "Well, I don't think she would be received very well." She said, "You see, she has her hair dyed blue." I said, "I want that blue hair up in my church. Y'all, come on. I want you there." And she said, You don't think they'll look at her weird and funny?" I said, "No, we want you there." And then finally one time, as I continued to invite this lady to church, she gave me a real concerned look. She kind of sighed and she said, "Jeff," I still remember, she called my name and she said, are they gonna look down on me because I'm divorced?" And I said, "Well, no. First of all," I said, "no one's going to know. And secondly, they wouldn't care." And I told her, I said, "I can think of several folks in our church who are divorced. And you know what? I bet there's more that I don't even know about." And she said, "Y'all don't talk about it?" I was like, "Not really. I mean, I know we all have things in our life we're not necessarily the proudest of, but we don't just walk through the doors advertising that. They're not thinking about those things or looking at you when you walk in. They're just glad you're there." You know what? Here's the thing. She was so afraid to come into the church, she was convinced that she was going to be judged and she was going to be looked down on. And sadly, I never did convince her to visit even one time. Let me tell you about another coworker. Another example. This was another lady, a much younger lady, but she was engaged to be married. And she came up to me at one point. I didn't see her as much as I did the other lady. And she said, "Hey, I heard you can do weddings." I said, "Well, I mean, that's not all I do. I mean, I pastor a church. I do preach on Sundays." So she asked me, "Well, how much would you charge to do my wedding?" I kind of shrugged. I don't have a fee for that. So we talked a little bit more. And I said, "I'll tell you what. Why don't you and your fiance come to church?" I said, "If you just come to church one time on a Sunday, then I'll do your wedding." Oh, and she immediately said, "No, I think I'd rather just pay you." Now think about that. I told her, "If you come to church one time, I'll just do your wedding for you." And she said, "I would rather pay you than come to church." So the more we talked, I started realizing I don't think she had ever been to church and she had no idea what to expect. And she even told me, she said, "I wouldn't know what to say." I was like, "You don't have to say anything." She said, "Well, won't people ask me questions or try to talk to me?" I said, "Well, they might ask if it's your first time visiting. They might ask if you live nearby, but then they're just going to say something like, 'We're really glad you're here and we hope you will come back.' But they're not going to interrogate you." And then she said, "Well, I wouldn't know what to do." So I had to explain step by step what would happen in the order of worship. After the following Sunday, I brought her a bulletin to work a few days later, and I showed her the lineup. I said, "Look, you're basically a spectator." And I started going through things. I said, "Here's where, you know, somebody will get a hymn, but we'll sing songs." She goes, "Oh, I don't want to sing." I'm like, "You don't have to. You don't have to sing." I said, you can just sit on the back row if you want and just listen. She said, people won't look at me weird. I said, no. I said, there's probably lots of folks that sit there and don't sing. You don't have to. I mean, we encourage participation in worship. Don't y'all think we're not? But I had to tell her, you can just come in and sit. And you know what? Eventually, she did. She came one Sunday. And like the other lady, I had to tell her it was okay to wear her blue jeans. I had to assure her she would not be the only one. And she showed up. She slipped in right as it started, and she looked terrified. She sat on the back row. But you know what she told me when it was all over? She was the first one out. She met me at the back door as I was standing at the back door of that receiver, and she said, it wasn't that bad. And she seemed genuinely amused by that fact. But you see, folks, in telling that story, what I want us to realize is this is a person who had no idea what to expect when she walked through those doors. She didn't know if there was going to be a panel of people there ready to question her when she walked in, like, okay, who are you? And what's your story? She didn't know if she'd have to say anything. She didn't know if she'd have to do anything in particular. And she didn't know if it's going to be like one of those meetings where you have to stand up and say why you're there and explain your situation. Or perhaps admit that you've never been to church. She didn't know if all she was going to hear about was all those bad things that she was doing. Because that's what folks outside the church think. Preacher's just going to stand up there for 30 minutes or more and tell them everything they're doing wrong. She didn't know, and she wanted no part of coming when I first invited her. And again, she seemed genuinely surprised when she found out that it wasn't the way she thought it would be. Now again, I'm telling us these stories to help open our eyes to the fact that we've got to do more than just suggest that people come to church. Tell them what to expect. Let me share some other quick stories. I remember a few years back, Lisa and I were having lunch at a place that I would frequently have lunch at during the week. But on this occasion, Lisa was off work, and she came up and met me at lunch. If you don't remember, it was Uncle Pepper's Pizza Kitchen. They're not there anymore, so I'm not trying to promote that. But anyway, we were talking to one of the waitresses there. I frequently invited her to church, and even more so when Lisa was there with me. We were inviting her to come to church, and at one point, she looked really serious. And she didn't ask me. All the times I'd invited her to church, she waited and she asked Lisa. And she got kind of quiet, and she said, "So, y'all don't have snakes, do you?" Snakes. You see, she had a young child, and we'd been encouraging her to bring her young son to church. I wasn't sure what to say when she said that, snakes. And she said, "Well, you know, you never know how churches are." Well, that statement is telling, isn't it? They, as in people outside the church, they don't know necessarily how churches are. Let me tell you another quick story. We were having lunch one Sunday at a restaurant very close to the church in Ball Ground. And as we were about to leave, I struck up a conversation with a family sitting next to us. And it started out just kind of talking about the food, but then I sort of directed the conversation toward church. And I said, "Yeah, we actually eat here sometimes after church on Sundays." That was my way of bringing church into the conversation. And that led to, of course, me inviting their family to come to church. And of course, Lisa chimed right in and was saying, "Yeah, we'd love to have y'all." And we told them that I was the pastor, and we told them what times our services were. And I told them, "Please come anytime." So then the dad, he finally looked at me. He said, "So walk-ins are welcome?" I said, "Well, yeah." Think about that. Walk-ins are welcome. That's what he asked me. In other words, he wasn't even sure if it was necessary for them to make an appointment to come to church, or would it be okay if they just showed up? He didn't know. And again, I share that story along with all the others to emphasize once again that people don't necessarily know what to expect. And listen, they aren't likely to just show up on their own if we don't compel them. I love that word from that verse, compel them to come. We as the church, we have got to let people know that not only are they welcome here, but we want them here. And that needs to be made very clear. Now listen, something else we need to consider is that there may be deterrents that we don't necessarily even think about. By deterrents, I mean things that might discourage someone from coming. And maybe, and no, by the way, I don't have anything in mind here, but let me just share some. But maybe we need to evaluate things in the church and think about how those things might appear to people on the outside. And I'm going to give just one real life example of the kind of thing I'm talking about. When I first became pastor at Ball Ground First Baptist Church back in 2015, there was a sign right by the driveway of the church. I mean, right there at the road. At the only driveway. You couldn't miss it. Every vehicle driving past would see this sign. And it was a sign that said, no buses, no trucks, and no skateboards. Right there at the entrance as people drive in. No buses, no trucks, and no skateboards. The first time I saw that, I thought, well, you know, that doesn't sound very accommodating. And I'm afraid what that sign might have been communicating is, this church is not very welcoming. So, once I was established as pastor, I asked about that sign on a Wednesday evening. And you know what I found out? It wasn't even put there by the church. Let me explain. Apparently, Ball Ground Elementary, which many years earlier had been across the street from the school, they had since moved to a new location. They used to use the lower level of the parking lot of the church. They used that as an overflow. The school put that sign up there, and who knows how long it had been there. And again, the school had since moved on to a new location, but the sign remained. And maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into that sign, but to me, that sign just sounded very unwelcoming. But what I almost found amusing was the fact that when I asked if they would mind if I took it down, they said nobody would mind. It's not even our sign. But they were so accustomed to it. And so it had remained. It remained for years and years. And once again, I just tell you that story to make a point. There may be things that are kept merely because they've been that way for years. But maybe they shouldn't be. Especially if it might make outsiders feel a little unwelcome. And I'll say once again, we have got to go to extra effort to make sure people know that they are welcome in the church. Now let me shift gears just a little. I have admitted to you all, I mentioned it this morning and I've said it before, that I do look at Facebook quite a bit. And the posts that I often see are church related. Now listen, I do know, I got to say this, you can't believe everything you see online. Y'all know that. Can't believe it just because it's on Facebook or on other social media. But I've seen multiple instances of a particular survey. And this one likely is very accurate. And since I've seen different versions of the same survey, the numbers will sometimes vary just a little. But they've always been reasonably close to the same range. But it is a survey about what brings people to church for a first-time visit. In other words, if someone attends a church for the very first time, what brought them there? Now again, I've seen different versions of this survey. The numbers slightly vary, but they're usually pretty close. But in all the reports that I have seen, typically, when people come to church for the first time, it's said that about 5% or less, and I've seen some as low as 2 or 3% of people first come to church because the pastor invited them to come. Now, this kind of combines a lot of them into one, but approximately 10% of people may come because of a sign or an advertisement or driving by, or maybe they found your website, or maybe they were interested in a program that was offered. But it said that approximately 85% or higher, I think I saw some as high as 90% or above, but approximately 85% or more of people came to church for the first time because a friend or family member invited them to come. You see, that means the church body, the members of the church must be at work compelling people to come in, and not only that, telling them what to expect and telling them that they are welcome and making sure they know that we want them to be here. And then, I'll take that a step further. We better back that up when they walk through the doors. Yep. Some people may come in and perhaps they're going to be dressed a little differently. Welcome them and love them. Someone may come from a different background. Perhaps a different ethnicity. Someone may come in with a different skin color. This is God's church. Make sure people feel welcome here. Make sure they know we want them to be here. Now, let me add. I know I'm talking a lot about inviting people to church. And really, the bottom line is we need to be sharing about Jesus, not just about church. But, you know, often inviting folks to church is a real good first step. Invite them to church so they can hear about Jesus. And not only that, use those conversations about church as a stepping stone to start telling people more about Jesus and telling them how Jesus wants to save them. And so we start winding down today. I want to go back to something we started with. You may recall near the beginning of the message that I said, we should be asking ourselves, whose life can I make a difference in today? And you may be thinking, in this great big world, what difference could you possibly make? Let me share another little story. And listen, I know I've shared a lot of stories here this morning. I said this message would be a little different. I've shared a lot of stories mostly, but this story is a little different because this is only something that I read. And not only that, it may be fictional, but it makes a very good point. But the story is told, the way I read it, is that there was an older gentleman who was walking along the edge of the beach following a big storm the night before. And as this man did so, as he walked along the beach, he was leaning down and he was picking up little starfish that had washed up on the shore. And as he did that, he was very gently tossing them back into the water. Well, a much younger guy approached, possibly a teenager, and he asked him, he said, "Hey, what are you doing, old man?" And so he said, "Well, you see, sometimes after a storm, these little starfish wash up on the shore, and if they get too far from the water's edge, then they can't get back. And they'll eventually dry up and die. So what I'm doing is I'm helping them out by tossing them back into the water." And the younger guy just laughed and he said, "You're crazy, old fella." He said, "Think about the number of starfish on this beach alone. Think about all the other shorelines, not just in this area, but all over." He said, "There's way more than you can ever get to." Then he said, "Why, you can't possibly make a difference." The older man reached down. He picked up one of those little starfish. He held it up for just a second. And then he tossed it back in the water. And he smiled and he said, "That made a difference to that one, didn't it?" Yeah, made a difference to that one. Now, you may have heard that story before. I think I initially might have read it in Reader's Digest. And I think I've even seen it where the ages were reversed and where it was a child who was helping the starfish, and it was an older person who came along and questioned what they were doing. You see, that part of the story is not important. But the part I wanted to emphasize are those words that said, it made a difference to that one, because, my friends, that same principle applies in the lives that you touch for Jesus. For each life that you touch, you made a difference to that one. And listen, for every soul that you win, you make an eternal difference to that one. We live in a society where sin is rampant and evil abounds, but don't ever think you can't make a difference, Be a light that shines in the midst of that darkness. And again, let the love of Jesus flow through you so God can use you to draw people unto Him. You know, back toward the beginning of the message when I read those words from the Great Commission, you may remember I said those were some of the final words of Jesus, at least in the Gospels. It was the last words in the Gospel of Matthew. And then, of course, we have words of Jesus in Acts chapter 1 where He fittingly said, "You shall be My witnesses." Of course, when Jesus spoke to Paul at his conversion. But you know, those were not the final words of Jesus in Scripture. Those come at the very end. At the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, which is the last book of the Bible, in the last chapter of the Bible, and in the next to the last verse, in Revelation 22:20, Jesus said, "I am coming quickly. I am coming quickly." Folks, He is. His return is imminent, and we are closer than we have ever been. We don't know how much time is left, but listen, don't let time run out. And I mean that in several ways. One, for God's people, let's not squander the opportunities that He gives us to share about Jesus. And then secondly, I mean that toward anyone who may not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Listen, we are just about done. We're getting ready to close, but it is so important that we at least mention this. And again, I know today's message was a little different in that we did not deeply analyze a scripture passage, but instead, I shared a lot of stories. But I don't ever like to close out a message without reminding you of the salvation to be found in Jesus Christ. And that's something I hope and pray that you have all experienced. But if you have not, I want you to know there is never a more important decision that you will face on this earth than the decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Through Jesus is the only way that we can receive forgiveness of sin. Therefore, Jesus is the only way that we can be reconciled with God the Father. And listen, because we are sinners, that destines us unto eternal condemnation unless we receive atonement for our sins. And Jesus Christ provided the means for that when He was crucified on the cross, taking the punishment for my sin and for your sin. And now He pleads with you to receive that gift. If you have never called out to God, opening your heart to Him, I urge you to do so. Do it right now in this very moment. Don't wait. If you would just open up your heart to Him in prayer and tell Him that you understand that you're a sinner and tell Him that you want Him to change your life. Ask the Lord to forgive your sin and save your soul. Ask Jesus to come into your heart to be your Savior. Tell Him you want Him to be the Lord of your life. Listen, receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it means not only that you are forgiven from sin, but it means that you now commit to live for Him, walking in His ways and drawing closer to Him. Again, I hope and pray that you've all done that. If not, just know that His arms are wide open to you right now. Jesus Himself said that He'd come to seek and to save those who were lost. We're going to have our time of invitation here. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. We're going to sing a song. As we sing that song, I'm going to invite you to respond. We call it an invitation because that's exactly what it is. You're being invited to respond. Some folks like to just come and sit on the front row to pray. Others may want to kneel or stand at the altar. Or if you'd like for me to pray with you, I will be down here at the front. But just know that's what this time is all about. It is an invitation. And if you need to respond, I hope you will this morning. Let's pray. Father, it is in Jesus' name that we do humbly bow before You. Father, I pray for Your church this morning. Lord, I pray for Your church overall. But right now, in this moment, I do specifically want to pray for Waleska First Baptist Church. And Father, I do pray that You help us to be a church that loves people into these doors, Lord. That as we walk out of this building, that we go out into the world and we tell people how much Jesus loves them, and we tell them how much we as a church love them, and that we want them here in our midst to worship with us.
Father, so they can learn more about you, so they can come to know Jesus if they don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Father, I pray your blessings on this time of invitation. Father, speak to our hearts, and I pray that if someone needs to respond this morning, that they would do that in this time. It is in Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen.